Okay, let's get going. We're in lesson 14, looking at the imperfect tense. And let's just quickly review at section 6, the forms of the imperfect tense. So this is referring to an ongoing, continuous or repetitive action in the past. And there in that table we have elegon, eleges, elegen, elegamen, elegete, elegon. Okay? Elegon, eleges, elegen, elegamen, elegete, elegon. And the past is formed by adding an epsilon onto the front of the stem, and if there is already a vowel there, then that vowel typically lengthens, often into an eta. Okay? And then, right at the end of last week, we looked at section 7, a few vocabulary words. Let's review those. Akalutheo, akalutheo, I follow. So, ekaluthe alte, ekaluthe alte. So, epsilon added onto the front of that, and then the epsilon and alpha have combined and lengthened to an eta. Blepo, blepo, I look at. Didasco, I teach. Didasco. Hod didaskalos, hod didaskalos is the teacher or the rabbi. He didake is teaching, doctrine. Homothetes, homothetes, student. And then amen, meaning truly or amen. So, armed with those, we can look at these sentences in section 8. Akalutho soy. Akalutho soy. I am following you. So the verb is akalutheo. That would be the dictionary entry. But when it's actually used in the first person singular, the epsilon and the gets contracted into the omega. So it's akalutho. Ekaluthe to Yesu ha Philippos. Ekaluthe to Yesu ha Philippos. So Philip was following Jesus. So epsilon's been added onto the front of the verb. And then the epsilon and alpha have contracted and lengthened to an eta. Number three, hoi mathetai akaluthin akaluthusin to Yesu kai didaske autus. Hoi mathetai akaluthusin to Yesu kai didaske autus. So hoi mathetai, the subject there, the disciples follow akaluthusin in the present. They follow Jesus and he teaches them. Didaske. And number four, eblepen ha didaskalos tus mathetas. Eblepen ha didaskalos tus mathetas. The teacher, ha didaskalos, is the subject. Eblepen, so in the past, the imperfect, the teacher was looking at the students. And number five, hoi mathetai akousin. Tus mathetas is the object, so it's in the accusative. It's the object of the verb, eblepen.
So it's the vowel in the accusative, but also the at the students.
At is part of the verb. So you have to come up with some way of making tus mathetas, the object of blepo. So you could, he was looking the students. We can't really say that. So look to look at. Mm-hmm. The at is part of the verb, to look at something.
You could have a lot of other words.
You could put he was seeing the students, but we wouldn't really say that.
Or if he was looking toward, or if it was something like, so it would have to be something like that. Or
yeah.
And
he was maybe watching the students, you could say. I think typically in English we would say he was looking at the students, who's either looking at or watching. Mm-hmm. And number five, hoi mathetai akousin tendihen tu didaskalu hina poiosin ta erga ha didaske autus. Hoi mathetai akousin tendihen tu didaskalu hina poiosin ta erga ha didaske autus. So, hoi mathetai, the subject, the disciples, they are ku'usin, they are listening. What are they listening to? It's ten didachen tu didaskalu, the teaching of the rabbi. Hina, so that. And then hina takes a subjunctive, so poiosin is that subjunctive, where the vowel has lengthened to an omega, so that they may do the works or the deeds. Ta erga ha is a relative pronoun, which he teaches them. Okay, now section 9. Some translation where you're not given the translation to help you. So number 1, hoi mathetai tu Yesu ekaluthon auto kai edidasken autus. Kai hoi mathetai tu Ioannou elegon auto hoti. Akuomen ten didachen tu Yesu, kai he didache hen didaske alethes esten. Okay, let's read that together. We'll go more slowly. Hoi mathetai tu Yesu ekaluthun auto kai edidasken autus. Kai hoi mathetai tu Ioannou elegon auto hoti. Akuomen ten didachen tu Yesu, kai he didache hen didaske alithes esten. Okay, so let's that first sentence. Hoi mathetai tu Yesu ekaluthun auto kai edidasken autus. Okay, Jen, what do you have for that? Any changes? The disciples of Jesus were following him and he was teaching them. Good. Next sentence. Kai hoi mathetai tu Ioannou elegon auto. Hati, and stop at that point. Okay, Judy, what did you have there? Okay, good. And the disciples of John were speaking to him, and then the Hati opens the quotation marks, and we have Akuomen ten didachen tu Yesu, kai he didache hen didaske alethes esten. So we hear or we listen to the teaching of Jesus, and the teaching which he teaches is true. Good. Okay, any questions on...
So you could change that then to the doctrine.
Yep, you could change it to doctrine.
That's the problem. I was having a teaching and teaching.
Yep. Okay, number 2. Kai aphentes ton Ioannen ekaluthun to Yesu, kai ho Yesus blepon autus, ekaluthuntas auto elegen autois, te zetete, elegon auto, ekaluthumen soi hina ten didachen, hen su didaskes akuomen. Okay, all together. Kai aphentes ton Ioannen ekaluthun to Yesu, kai ha Yesus blepon autus, ekaluthuntas auto elegen autois, te zetete elegon auto, ekaluthumen soi hina ten didachen hen su Didaskes akouomen. Okay, let's take the first sentence. Kai aphentes, and we're told aphentes is, it's a participle. Nominative, singular, masculine participle, meaning leaving. Kai aphentes ton Ioannen akaluthun to Jesu. And leaving John, they followed Jesus. So aphentes there, participle, describing something that they have done. And so typically, in putting it into good English, we would render it just as James has done, after leaving, the aphentes they did first, and then they followed. Leaving John, or after leaving John, they followed Jesus. Now, ekaluthun, it's ambiguous. It could be first person singular or third person plural. Context will make it clear it has to be third plural. It can't refer to me. Kai ha Jesus blepon altus akoluthuntas alto elegen altois. Okay, yeah. And Jesus, and then blepon is a participle. So it's referring to the one doing the action. Seeing, what was he seeing? Altus, seeing them. Akaluthuntas, it's really a form you haven't met before, but you can have a good guess, and you guess essentially it. It's another participle referring to them. So, and Jesus, seeing them following him, said to them. Okay. You see how that is working. And this use of participles is quite frequent in the New Testament, you'll find. And here's what he says. Te zetete. Okay, what do you seek? What are you seeking? Elegon alto. They said to him. Again, elegon could be first singular or third plural. Context implies it has to be third plural. And here's what they say. Akaluthumen soi hena tendidachen hen su didaskes akuomen. Okay, so what do you have there, Gerald? Okay, good. So akaluthumen soi, we are following you. And then we have a hena clause, a purpose statement. And it's going to take a subjunctive. So we have that in akuomen with its lengthened omega instead of a omicron, not omen, but omen, so that we might follow, or so that we might hear, tendidachen, the teaching, hensu didaskes, which you are teaching. Okay. Good. Well, we see how that paragraph is working. Then number three, kai elegen altois, en te didache altu, kalete me didaskalon, kai kurion, kai kalos legate emi gar. Kai elegen altois, amen, amen, lego humen, uk esten mathetes metzon tu didaskalu altu. Okay, all together. Kai elegen altois, en te didache altu, kalete me didaskalon, kai kurion, kai kalos legate emi gar, kai elegen altois, amen, amen, lego humen, uk esten mathetes metzon tu didaskalu altu. So, kai elegen altois en te didache altu. Start with that. Okay, good. And he spoke to them, or we might say, and he was speaking to them. So this is a continuous, either a continuous action in the past or a repetitive action in the past. So we might, he was speaking to them in his teaching. And here now we get the content of that teaching, or what he was saying. Kelete me didaskalon kai kurion, kai kalos legete eimi gar. So you call me teacher and Lord with kaleo, as we saw from page 72, meaning a call or invite. Kai kalos legete, and you speak well, eimi gar. For I am. Good. So you call me teacher and Lord, and you speak well, for I am. Kai elegen autois. Amen, amen, lego human. Okay, so and he said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, so amen, amen, lego human, common phrase in John's Gospel. Uk estin mathetes metzon tu didaskalu autu. With metzon there meaning greater. Okay, Judy, what do you have there? Sounds like you had it. Okay, so mathetes is the subject here. A disciple, singular. Uk estin is not greater, metzon, tu didaskalu autu. Than his teacher. A disciple is not greater than his teacher. Good.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to take the van is implied in the greater, and the comparison is then given in the genitive case. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to find the genitive has a very wide range of, very very wide range of meaning. Okay, section 10. So in translation number 2, paragraph 2, we looked at there. We read hina ten didachen hen su didaskes akouomen, which we can translate literally, so that the teaching which you teach we may hear. But that's not good English, so we have to come up with a way of putting it into good English. And we have to change the word order and put the verb. In English, we want to put the verb right after the so that statement, so that we may hear the teaching which you teach. And then the teaching which you teach isn't natural English, so we need to do something with that. And we could put, we may hear the doctrine which you teach, or we may listen to your teaching, we may hear what you teach. And all of those be good translations. They're not word-for-word wooden translations, but that's generally not our goal. We want to come up with a good English translation that conveys the meaning of the whole sentence. In this sense, part of the art of translation. So translator must ask not only how can I best express the meaning of these words in my language, but also how can I best express the meaning of these words in my language so they can be understood by those who will read them or hear them. And translators, they always have a target audience in mind, and typically they think of it, at least for productions here in the U.S., of a particular grade level that they're aiming at. And it might be 6th grade level or 12th grade level, and one of the sad realities is they keep having to drop the grade level. New RSV, for example, is pitched at 12th grade. NIV is pitched at 6th grade.
What's the English standard?
I think they keep lowering the grades, too. I mean, 5 years ago, I thought the NIV was like 8.
What is ESV at? It would be somewhere between NIV and New RSV, so somewhere between 6 and 12. I don't know. I don't know what the specific level it's at. Yeah, that's sad. Is a 6th grader, 12th grader, no, 12th grader now can read what a 6th grader would have, could read a few couple of decades ago, probably. So, okay, section 11, a few more words. Ekenos, that man, or he, and then that too can be in masculine, feminine, or neuter. And be in all the cases in singular and plural. Epen apen, he said. That's an irregular past tense. We're going to see apekrithe. Apekrithe, he replied. That's an unusual ending there that you'll learn in a good, that's many lessons away for you'll end at theta, eta ending. And gegrapha, gegrapha, I have written, which is, that's a perfect tense, which you'll learn in a few lessons time. Gegrapha. So it's the stem is, the root is grapho, and the initial letter has been reduplicated, so it's been doubled. So we can now read with that, me graphe, ha basileus ton judaion, al hoti ekenos epen basileus emi ton judaion, apekrithe ha pilatos, ha gegrapha, gegrapha. Okay, so together, me graphe, ha basileus ton judaion, al hoti ekenos epen basileus emi ton judaion, apekrithe ha pilatos, ha gegrapha, gegrapha. So me graphe, don't write. Now graphe there is an imperative, which we haven't met, and imperatives get negated with me, not with u. So don't write. Ha basileus ton judaion, the king of the Jews, or the the Judeans. But al Allah, but hoti ekenos epen, but that one, that man said, basileus emi ton judaion, I am the king of the Judeans. Apekrithe ha Pilatos, Pilate replied, ha gegrapha, gegrapha. What I have written, so ha there is a relative pronoun, in the neuter, the accusative singular, what I have written, I have written.
What question? You always hear a lot, you know, in John.
Amy is I am. When he says I am, the I am statements in John, it's always ego Amy. So he always uses the personal pronoun as emphatic.
So
I myself am. You could put it I myself am. So generally taken as being a implicit reference back to the name that God gives himself in Exodus 3:14, I am that I am. Eche, ache, eche, asher, eche. Okay. Okay, now if you can keep section 9 open on page 82, and turn to the sheet that I handed out to you, and we have our first text reading straight out of the New Testament, the Greek New Testament. So I've ordered copies of this Reader's Greek New Testament.
With third grade.
How about first grade?
So, and those get in, hopefully they'll be in the next week or two. But in the meanwhile, here is the text for 1 John 1, verses 1 through 3. Unabridged, the full thing. Okay? And before I read that, let's note some vocabulary here. Ophthalmos, eye. You can maybe have a guess at that from ophthalmology and things. Ophthalmos, ethosamatha, ethosamatha, we saw, cheres, his hands, epsilaphesan, they touched, peri, is a preposition meaning about or concerning, Ephanerothe, it was revealed. Hemeteros is our. Okay. So I'll read this through and then we can read it together. Ha en arches, ha akekoamen, ha eorakamen tois ophthalmois hemon, ha etheasamatha kai haikeres hemon, epsilaphesan peri tulagu tes zoes, kai hezoe ephanerothe, kai heorakamen, kai marturumen, kai apangelomen humen, ten zoen, ten ionion, hetis, en proston patera, kai ephanerothe hemen, ha heorakamen, kai akekoamen, apangelomen, kai humen, hene kai humes, koinonian, ekete methemon, kai he koinonia de he emetera meta tu patros, kai meta tu huiu, autu Jesu Christu. Okay. Try reading that together. Ha en aparkes, ha akekoamen, ha eorakamen, tois ophthalmois hemon, ha etheasamatha, kai haikeres hemon, epsilaphesan, peri tu logu tes zoes, kai hezoe ephanerothe, kai eorakamen, kai martyrumen, kai apangelomen humen, ten zoen, ten ionion, hetis, hen proston patera, kai ephanerothe, hemen, ha eorakamen, kai ekekoamen, apangelomen, kai humen, hena kai humes, koinonian, ekete, methemon, kai he koinonia de he hemetera meta tus patros, kai meta tu huiu autu Jesu Christu. So, that seems a little daunting. You read it all through. Let's break it down bit by bit, and you'll find that you can work your way through it. So we'll do it phrase by phrase. Ha en aparkes. Ha en aparkes. That which was from the beginning. So ha is neuter. So remember, has, hes, ha, han, hen, ha. So ha is neuter singular. That which was from the beginning. Ha akekoamen. Okay, good. Good. That which we have heard. So you haven't met the form akekoamen, at least not like that, but it's in section 11 we had this gegrapha with this duplication of the gamma, the first letter. You might recognize there's akuo is in there with a duplication of the kappa. Akekoamen. That which we have heard. Very good. So that's a perfect of akuo to hear. Ha eorakamen tois ophthalmois hemon. Okay, Melody, what did you have for that? You have to have a bit of a guess with eorakamen, but tois ophthalmois hemon? Our eyes. And we know the eorakamen, so the amen ending there is going to be first plural. So we have something, our eyes. That which we have seen with our eyes. Okay, so we're still all working along this string of things, ha, so that neuter singular. So that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, ha etheasamatha kai haikeres hemon. Well, let's say ha etheasamatha. Stop at that point. Okay, so we're told that that also means we saw. So that which we have seen again or In English, we probably need to come up with a synonym for to see that which we have looked at or observed or something like that. Kai haicheres hemon epsilaphesan peritulagu tes zoes. And keres, we're told, is hens. And this epsilaphesan is touched. Okay, good. So, kai haicheres hemon epsilaphesan, and our hands have touched. So there we switch to the third person plural with haicheres as the subject. Peritulagu tes zoes. Okay, concerning the word of life. Concerning the word of life, that's sort of left hanging at that point. And so this edition of the Greek New Testament puts in a dash. Kai hezoe ephanerothe. Ephanerothe, we were told it was revealed. Okay, and the life was revealed. The life was revealed. Kai eorakamen. So we've already had that verb in the first verse. And we have seen kai martyrumen. Can you remember the verb martyreo? Martyreo. So our English word martyr, a witness, okay. Kai martyrumen. And so what tense is martyrumen in? Until this point, all these things are being in the past, are all perfect tenses. We have heard, we have seen, we have touched, we have seen, and now we witness, we bear testimony in the present. Kai apangelomen, humen, tenzoen ton ionion. So apangelomen, remember that verb? So ionion, ionios is eternal, of the ages. An ion, an aeon, right? An aeon is an age. So even our English word, we have an aeon from ion.
Eon.
Eon. Eon, sorry. Eon. 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 So we announce, apangelomen, we announce or declare or proclaim to you, ten zoen ton ionion, the life of the age. So this is ten zoen ten ionion. Usually we translate it as eternal life, which to us we think of, oh, that just means we're going to live forever. But it's really, it means it's life of the age. Well, which age is this? Well, in biblical thought, there is this age and the age to come. There's this age in which everything is wrong, and the age to come in which God puts everything right. And then what we find in the New Testament is that God has now brought this age in the Lord Jesus Christ. So life of the age is, it's a life of that point at which God puts everything right, which has happened now in the middle of time. So we can leave it as eternal life. Hetis hen pros ton patera. So hetis, relative pronoun, referring back to ten zoen, the life. So hetis is in the feminine. Hen pros ton patera. So hen, peri is concerning. Pros, with. Who was with the Father. Kai ephanerothe himen. Well, ephanerothe, it was revealed. We're given that in our vocabulary. Himen. To us. Okay. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has been revealed to us. That's this eternal life. Verse 3, ha erakamen kai akekoamen. Take those two. Okay, yeah, we get a repetition of those two verbs from verse 1. Ha heorakamen kai akekoamen, that which we have seen and heard. Apangelomen kai humen. We declare to you, and then what should we do with that kai that's between? We declare also to you. Also to you, or even to you. We can't take it as and wouldn't fit there. So we declare also to you. Hina kai humes koinonian echete methemon. Okay, so that you might have fellowship methemon with us. And the kai, in this case, what should we do with the kai? Okay, so that you also may have fellowship with us. Good. Kai he koinonia de he emetera metatu patros kai metatu huyu autu Jesu Christu. So hemeteros we read is our. So how would you take that? If we leave the de aside, he koinonia he emetera hemeteros is our. So hemetera here is feminine, and our fellowship. So and the fellowship, what sort of fellowship? It's hemetera, our fellowship. Metatu patros is with the Father. We have to add in English. Have to add in the verb to be, and our fellowship is with the Father. Kai metatu huyu autu Jesu Christu. No, where are you finding those extra words? You're saying that just because you're so familiar with it in English. Kai met to huyu, huyas. Huyas is son. And with his son, Jesus Christ. Okay, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his son, Jesus Christ. So now, what do we do with that de? Well, we have a note here on page 84 in the book. In verse 3, note, kai he koinonia de he emetera, and our fellowship. Here, the added linking word de indicates that in this sentence we have further information about the fellowship, he koinonia, that has just been mentioned in the previous sentence. So in English, we might translate the phrase as now. And de is another of these words. It can never occur as the first word of a sentence. It's always going to occur as second or third word or so. So it's a conjunction. It has a range of meanings. You just have to use context. Sometimes you can translate it as but or now. But in this case, it's saying, so now this koinonia, the one we've just referred to in the previous sentence, I'm going to say some more things about it. Okay, very good. Through three verses of the unabridged Greek New Testament. So what it sees, you break it down into little units, look for the punctuation, and take it just step by step, and you can work your way through it. As you get practice, more practice you get, the easier it will be. Okay. So section C here, page 84, another little piece of fun poetry from Dobson. Himes we, humes you, ace is one and duo two, eme me and set is the, hex is six and trace is three. Okay, say that together. Himes we and humes you, ace is one and duo two, eme me and se is the, hex is six and trace is three. So for the numbers there, hex, six, we have hexagon, things like that, trace, three, from which we get all sorts of words, tricycle and tripod and things like that, and trio and all those. Okay. Well, you say it's almost Spanish. What's happened is so it came from Greek into Latin, and then Latin into all the Romance languages.
So
the numbers will, we'll get to those. Ace we've had, that's right. Ace we've had. Okay, that brings us to the end of lesson 14. Well, the number you tend not to learn is zero, actually. Yeah, you need, if you're an engineer here, if you're an engineer here in the valley, you need one and zero. But typically, when you learn language, the one number you never learn is zero, which can. Well, it was the Arabs who came up with the medieval Arabic mathematicians who came up with the concept of zero. And I've been caught out by this learning languages because you need zero to know telephone numbers. And I've been in situations where this happened in Indonesia. Somebody was reciting a telephone number, and I was this number in there. I had no idea at all what it meant. And I was, well, that's right. You normally never learn the number zero. Anyway, but the invention of zero was itself, that was an amazing, that was a huge deal when that very concept was developed. Okay, let's take a short break and then look at lesson 15.